Browns president Mike Holmgren joins us now. Mike, thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, Vic.
So today was a big day because you did the State of the Team end of season news conference and touched on so many points. But I think in terms of the big picture, you really, and you've said this before, but I think it was important to reiterate the philosophy, the approach of how you're going to go about the process, how this organization is to get better.
Yeah, you know, it's hard, too, for fans in particular to go through a season like we just went through with wins and losses. I think we played some good football, but we didn't win enough games. And then listen to me say, but we're on track, we're on schedule. You know, I mean, I recognize how hard that is for people. But I think historically for this franchise over the years, you know, if things haven't gone well, there's been total change, massive turnover, and now a start over again. And that, I don't think personally that philosophy works in the National Football League. I think that with the teams that have had continuity and gotten through the tough spots together but hung in there and then built the team a certain way, I think those are the most successful franchises, and that's what we're going to do. We are going to build through the draft. We're going to be selective in free agency. And I have tremendous confidence in Tom Heckert, our general manager, to do the right thing, excuse me, with players in the draft. He's proven that so far, and we're looking forward to a great draft this year. So that's how we're going to build a team. We're not going to blow everything up and start from square one again. And as hard as that is sometimes to be patient with, that's how we're going to do it.
And, you know, there is that, obviously, that tendency for folks to look at 4-12 and to say there's a reason to blow up because that's so far from your target. But explain why you can see a bridge built from 4-12 to where you want to be.
Well, it's hard to defend that. And believe me, there's no one more disappointed in our record than myself, Tom Heckert, Pat Shurmur, the players. I mean, we listen, no one's very happy with the record. I want to say that up front. However, we did compete. We competed in our own division, first of all, I think very, very strongly, even though we didn't win any games. You know, we played in a lot of very close games that with a bounce here or there, perhaps we could have won the football game. Three of the three teams in our division are all in the playoffs, so we know we are in a strong division. But I thought we took strides that way this year with a very, very young football team. So if we continue, as I said, continue adding young players, our young players get a little seasoned. Our defense build on a pretty good defense, but now we have to get our offense going. I think there's real hope.
And, you know, you mentioned this and when it came up about whether 4-12 is a reflection of, quote, business as usual, and you defended that by saying it's different because of the intention to stay the course, to believe in what you're doing, and reiterating that you have the support you need from team owner Randy Lerner and making the point that he has, as you've put it, a man of his word. Just expand on what you, because you're drawing obviously great confidence from that.
Oh, yeah. I think, excuse me, for a person in my position to have a relationship with the owner along those lines, I think is special. I think, and it allows us to look not just to next year, but look to 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And I think that's how teams are built properly. And I think Randy has certainly stepped up and given us the freedom to do this the way we would like to do it. You know, look, I would toss Mr. Lerner, Randy Lerner, into the disappointed group along with us. He wasn't happy with the wins and losses this year. But to his credit, you know, he is a man of his word, and he's allowing Tom and I to do this. So you can't ask any more from an owner in this league than I'm getting from Randy Lerner.
And you were asked the question point blank about how far away this team is from winning a Super Bowl, and really, you can only go by your personal experiences, but you've been there with the Green Bay Packers twice. You've been there with the Seahawks, and you talked about the five-year path in Green Bay and, what was it, seven-year path with Seattle. But what you had in common in both places was finding that quarterback. And you had, obviously, Brett Favre. You got him in year one before he became Brett Favre. And then in Seattle, it was a few years later that you got Matt Hasselbeck. So that answering that question and the quarterback question are really one and the same.
I think they are. And in fairness to everybody, I think that's the way it goes. So you find the guy who you believe is the guy. Then when I was able to do that in both those cities, then we were in the Super Bowl 5 years after that. Now, to get into the Super Bowl, just to get into the game, there are a lot of good teams that are in the playoffs. And you need a little luck. You need a lot of things to go your way. But so really, I think a better or more realistic approach is to say, okay, when are you in the playoffs? In both those cities, okay, we didn't get to the Super Bowl until year five, but we were in the playoffs, you know, in year two and three. And then you're in the playoffs, you're always in the playoffs, and then if all of a sudden things go your way, you don't get injured, your quarterback's hot, now you got a chance to be in the game. So that's what I'm shooting for here first. I want to develop a playoff-caliber team. Let's get in the tournament. Let's have a strong enough team to get in the tournament.
Right.
Then after that, you know, we have our fingers crossed.
Browns President Mike Holmgren joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. That quarterback question was asked, of course, and has been asked of you repeatedly, and regarding whether Colt McCoy is the franchise guy. You said you think he can be and could be, but you're not ready to say that just yet. So what else do you sort of need to see to come to that conclusion? And what from the 13 games that he was able to play in 2011, what has that given you as a framework to make that judgment?
Well, I think, first of all, in fairness to Colt and Seneca and our other quarterbacks, it's a tough go. And Colt this year, I think one thing I do know for sure is he's a tough guy. I mean, he got knocked around pretty good.
Yeah.
And so, we were involved in games where a play here, a play there, and we probably wouldn't be having this conversation, you know, this way. But you are what you are, and your record is what it is, and the quarterback is responsible for that. So we are going to have a healthy competition. I've had this conversation with Colt, by the way. So, you know, he's not getting sideswiped with this. We're going to have a healthy competition, which he does not mind. He's gone through that before. Players don't mind that if they're confident in their own abilities. So we're going to do that, and then let's see what happens. You know, the old saying that quarterback gets too much credit and too much blame is true. You know, he had to be, we got to surround that position, whoever's playing there, with good runners, good blockers, good receivers, and now it all works. Now, of course, he's the pivotal guy and probably the most important person on your football team.
Right.
But we can help that position by shoring up some other areas as well.
He entered the 2011 season, obviously, as the designated starter. So it's going to be different from that standpoint, him competing for the job for 2012. My question is that more a reflection of your really a general maybe uncertainty about his stature as whether or not you want to, you know, make that commitment, A, or B, is part of it, maybe most of it, the thinking that he'll just be better because he's being pushed and you didn't, you know, he wasn't pushed a year ago. Is there any thought that's needed for Colt McCoy?
I don't think he needs to be pushed a lot. I think he's wired a certain way and he's going to compete a certain way. But I think it's healthy to have that little extra edge to say, okay, you know, the irony here is I remember when I first came to the 49ers with Joe Montana, Dwight Clark, and those guys. They approached training camp like they were trying to make the football team. I mean, it was unbelievable to me. And they always had this little in the back of their mind, this little fear. Now, I said, this is ridiculous. These guys are the best that's ever played. But that's how they practiced. That's how they approached their profession. And so this isn't a bad thing. This isn't a bad thing. And the cream will rise to the top, and then we'll make a decision.
All right, we're going to have much more coming up with Mike Holmgren, the president of the Browns, here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, with the team president, Mike Holmgren. And Mike, when we look at the future, getting more players to help this team make the strides you want it to make, with 9 draft picks, certainly that gives you an opportunity to do a lot of things. But we both know, and we all know, I guess, as Browns followers and fans, that the focus is going to be on that quarterback spot. And the feeling is, and you said today during the news conference, that you like that philosophy of bringing in a quarterback every year to your team. If you could talk about that and maybe how it relates to the thinking going forward this year.
Well, we're in the process now, and it'll be an ongoing process for the next few months prior to the draft of getting a strategy, looking at who's available, where it fits into where we pick, what other needs we have, all those things, you know. And I'm not going to step on Tom Heckert's toes because he does a great job, but I always felt that you drafted a quarterback someplace to and put him into the mix, and maybe you hit on one. You know, I mean, in years past, we drafted, as an example, Mark Brunell late. I think it was the 5th round, and he went on to a great career, still playing, as a matter of fact, but with Jacksonville and so on and so forth. Matt Hasselbeck was a 6th-round pick. So you can pick a guy later on, and I always wanted to do that, and just to bring him into let him develop in your system. If it works, it works. If not, you know, you're out a late-round draft pick. That's how I looked at it. So I think I would encourage Tom, and I think we will do it around here, that we'll try and do that every year. The other side of this is if you're going to shoot up in there to try and get a franchise quarterback, or what quote-unquote what people would call a franchise quarterback, a first-round pick as an example, then that's quite a different deal. Because when you do that, anytime you do that, you're actually telling your fans, you're telling everybody, if you're going to invest that kind of money into a player and use a first-round pick on him, he is going to be your guy. There's no question he's going to get every chance to be your guy. So that's the other side of that quarterback thing. Mm-hmm. But I think either way we do it, I think we're going to have to add a quarterback either through the draft or free agency this year, and that'll happen.
As you think about the physical prototype for the position, that size thing, strength thing, arm strength, as it applies to the conditions that a quarterback in the AFC North must deal with, and certainly particularly one in Cleveland must deal with, and I think about those the winds and the swirling rain and snow of the season finale against Pittsburgh, does that influence your thinking any more now than it did when you first got here about approaching that position?
You know what, I think not really. I can't, no, not really. Because, I coached in Green Bay, so the idea of playing in inclement weather or on grass, or in that division at the time, you know, the Bears, the Lions, they were cranked up, Minnesota and so on. No, I never thought about the size of the quarterback. Of course you'd like, you know, you don't want somebody too small because he can't see.
Right.
But there are a lot of good quarterbacks that have played in this league, not the least of which is playing in New Orleans right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's about as good as they come. So you don't look at that first.
Right.
You'd like it. But not everyone is as big as the quarterback at Pittsburgh or some of these other fellows. And so you just want a good football player that can do what you ask him to do when he's got the ball in his hands.
And when it comes to this scheme and how it's devised, we will perhaps are we to expect maybe any change when a new offensive coordinator is brought into this team? Well, as you go through the process with Pat Shurmur figuring out who that guy is, what does he need to bring to the table? And is it possible he brings ideas that are going to cause any shift of what we know this offensive philosophy to be right now?
Well, that'll be an interesting question. I think that remains to be seen. I think one thing we know we're going to do is bring in an offensive coordinator. So as we're compiling the list of candidates, you know, to think that everyone knows this offense, every one of these guys knows this offense. No, we're not limiting the list to people that run this style of play. Now, having said that, I believe in this style of play, and we've invested a year with our young players in this particular system. So, there, you know, conceivably, we could ask the new coordinator if he, you know, to learn it, to you know, build on it. Of course, you know, to get a really good guy, you know, you're going to have to give him some space and let him work. That's why you're going to hire him. So it'll be an interesting thing. It's but Pat's on board, and you know, we're committed to doing this, and he's being very, I tell you, the beauty, he's being very unselfish with this, because the fun part of it is calling the game, one of the fun things.
Yeah.
And I know he wanted to do that, but right now, and I don't know how it's going to come down next year. I really don't. I don't think anyone can tell you right now. But he is willing to, give that up if we get the right guy. Now, we'll see. I mean, that hasn't been decided yet.
Are you sensitive to the idea, as a passing game guy, quarterback guy yourself, who made your coaching bones on that, that is what Pat Shurmur has made his coaching bones and helped get him a head coaching job, that there's going to be a management of that relationship possibly going forward, as you just suggested, about letting this new offensive coordinator call plays or not, and how he just handles the relationship? Is there a sensitivity to that?
I think there is, and I think it's very, very important. I mean, with all the coaches that have worked with me on my staffs, okay, my relationship with them and how we communicated was key, I think, to how the football team did. There's a carryover there. And so I tried real hard for the chemistry on the staff as well as the chemistry in the locker room. So whoever we hire, okay, Pat's the head coach. It's he's going to have to make it work, and the fellow who we hire is going to have to make it work, and that's the only way you have a chance. And so everyone's going to know that. And so we go in that with that assumption, and then I don't think there's going to be a problem at all.
You heard a lot of questions today about Pat, about some of the struggles of a first-year head coach, that, you know, mistakes of youth that were made of players and of a first-year head coach, and folks asking you, and very bluntly, is he on a hot seat for next year? You know, why wouldn't he be? All these types of questions were coming your way, and I know you were very supportive of him, but I just would like you to go back to that point about why the support, why the confidence for any of those who have any doubts, and why they would bring those questions up to you.
There is nothing that happened this year that made me lose confidence in Pat Shurmur. Did we not win enough games? Absolutely. We should have won more games, in my opinion. But Pat's the same guy I hired. He's intense, smart, understands the game. He commands a lot of respect in the locker room. The players listen to him. All the things you need to be a head coach. Do you have little hiccups your first year as a head coach? I know firsthand you do. And I think the other side of it is he had to deal with some things this year that a lot of coaches don't have to deal with, all in the first year.
Yeah.
So I think he came out at the end of the year in my postseason interview with him and in talking with him, you know, he came out a little bit bruised and scarred and wiser. And learned some things about the football team, learned some things about himself. But that's what coaches do. And so when I see him admitting to those things, talking already about how he's going to fix this and this and this, and wanting to roll up his – I almost have to make him go on vacation. He needs some time now, like we all do.
Sure.
I have a lot of confidence in his ability to get this thing done.
And we talk about the fans because they're obviously it's really all about them and what this is all for, and your awareness of how bought in this fan base has been for many, many years to this team and how important it is to Cleveland and so forth, its identity, frankly, and the frustration that has been there. But if you talk straight to them, I mean, and you do, I know you do in your anecdotal experiences out shopping and so forth, and they want to tell you what they think. But if you give them a sense now of why they should stay aboard and why their frustration, while difficult, shouldn't turn into, you know, giving up on what's going on.
you know what? Honestly, Vic, even though we had a very disappointing season that way as far as our wins and our losses, I have supreme confidence that the Cleveland Brown fans are going to be the Cleveland Browns fans. They might be a little mad at me. They might be a little mad at Pat. They might be a little mad at Colt or the team or whatever. But they love this football team, and they're going to be there for us. And, you know, they've kind of suffered through the tough times here, and they've hung on. They've really hung on. And I expect them to hang on until they can enjoy it again. I really do. Now, they have my commitment. I am here. I am here doing this because of what Cleveland was about, what the fans were about. I wouldn't have left my riding my motorcycle and going to the beach and all the good things in retirement for any place, just any place. I came here, one, because of Randy Lerner, and two, because of what the Cleveland Browns meant to me as a little kid, growing up, what it meant to me as a coach in this league, and what I know it means to me now. So, you know, hang in there with me. You know, we're going to have fun at the end, and that's hard to be patient. It's very hard to be patient given the wins and losses. But we have a good coach. We have good young players, and we will get more good players because of Tom Heckert. We have a good coaching staff, you know, and now and we have the greatest fans in the world. So there's no reason to think we can't do this, even though it's hard to be patient. So I just tell them, hang in there with me.
I noticed snow tires on the motorcycle, too. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Browns President Mike Holmgren joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.